I believe it spins from discussion we had at the last ITCG regarding the US SEC filings, IFRS filings for one second. Okay, yeah, I'm on the right one. So, sorry, it's regarding US SEC filings. We're going to have Vivek take us through that. We've got about 30 minutes on that topic, and then we come back to Anne's going to take us through the next one. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, John. Good afternoon, everyone. So, agenda paper 4, discuss the staff's research on extension analysis in the primary financial statements. Due to limited times, we'll discuss all the questions at the end of our presentation. So the purpose of this session is to seek your views on how best to structure our research and how we should prioritize updates related to the IFRS taxonomy. We'll discuss four topics at today's meeting. Topic one is to discuss objectives and why we focus on primary financial statements. Secondly, we'll discuss different research methodologies that have been used in our research. Then we present you with some initial findings from methodologies used for our research. And finally, as a result of our findings, we'll discuss the staff proposal and priorities for 2019. So section one discusses the objectives and scope of extension analysis. The objective is to review whether further improvements can be made to the IFRS taxonomy to support higher quality tagging. And the focus of our research is on the tagged primary financial statements of foreign private issuers that are filed under US SEC requirements. So we've decided to focus our research on the primary financial statements due to three main reasons. Firstly, ESMA requires detailed tagging of primary financial statements. Secondly, our findings may inform the board's current proposals on the primary financial statements project. And finally, tagged data for private foreign private issuers are easily accessible. So question one for ITCG members is, do you agree that our initial focus should be on the tagged primary financial statements of foreign private issuers? Section two discusses the research methodologies used. We have used three research methodologies. Firstly, bottom-up approach, then top-down approach, and feedback from external stakeholders. Slide 8 discusses the bottom-up approach. The approach focuses on clustering extensions into different categories. In this approach, we have extracted raw experial data from 472 foreign private issuers that have tagged their primary financial statements for the year 2017. In total, we have found 9,302 unique extensions. Slide 9 discusses the data clustering methodology. Firstly, here, unique extensions are categorized by industry group based on the standardized industrial classification codes of filers. And secondly, unique extensions are categorized by the particular financial, primary financial statements to which the extensions relate. So our next step is to identify and group together extensions that have different accounting name but have the same meaning. Since we are in our preliminary findings, we'll share these findings at a future ITCG meeting. So I'll now pass on to Vivek to discuss other two research methodologies used.
Thanks, Anuj. Good afternoon, everyone. Slide 10 discusses about our second research methodology, referred as top-down approach. By this approach, we mean that we focus our analysis on some particular types of extensions. So as we know that SF regulations requires anchoring, so we have decided to keep our focus on those extensions that we think would be difficult to be anchored and thereby would be difficult for consumption by the users. Accordingly, we have decided to keep our focus on the extensions that break the fundamental calculation relationships in the primary financial statements and the extension axis created by the foreign private issuers in their primary financial statements. This slide gives you an example of the fundamental calculation relationship in the primary financial statements. So this snapshot is for the fundamental calculation relationship in the cash flow statement. if an entity creates an extension to tag the effect of consolidation adjustment on cash and cash equivalent, we think that anchoring of this extension to a total level element may not provide sufficient accounting meaning to the users for their analysis. Then review of extension axis. We have observed that many filers use extension axis in the tagging of their primary financial statements, and we think that current solutions for anchoring may not handle the extension axis, thereby making it difficult for users for their consumption. Slide 13 discusses about our third research methodology, where we analyze the stakeholders' feedback we have received through outreach, queries, and comment letters. We gather all the feedbacks, arrange those in broad sections, and then start our analysis. For instance, for this preliminary analysis, we have focused on those feedbacks that are related to the primary financial statements. Second question for ITCG members. Do you agree with the research methodology we are using for the extension analysis? How can we improve our analysis of extensions?
So now we discuss our early findings that are a result of our research methodologies used. So slide 16 discuss our first findings from bottom-up approach, where we have clustered extensions by industry group. Our findings show that banks and insurance industry have the highest average extensions per foreign private issuers. And in the next slide, our findings show that a significant extensions are created for the statements of cash flows, and the least extensions are created for the statements of changes in equity when we categorize the extensions based on primary financial statements. Now, Vivek will talk about other findings from our methodologies used and priorities for 2019.
Just one point to add here. As Anuj mentioned, that the highest number of extensions are in banks and insurance sectors. However, we think that the number of extensions may go down once the standards on financial instruments and insurance contracts become effective. Slide 18 to 20 discuss about the early findings of our analysis of fundamental relationships. We have started this approach with the given calculation relationship in the statement of cash flows. We do acknowledge that companies may not strictly follow this presentation pattern. Thus, we have also considered different variety of presentation made by the preparers, particularly relating to discontinued operations. For instance, some companies report the amounts relating to continuing operations and discontinued operations separately without reporting the total element. So we have considered those scenarios as well in our analysis. Our early finding suggests that this calculation relationship works fine in most of the cases. Where this calculation did not work well, we have observed that companies used incorrect IFRS taxonomy elements, and some used different presentations. We also noticed the instances of incorrect use of signs, but those are very few in number. We found few extension elements that break this fundamental calculation relationship in the statement of cash flows. These are the effects of inflation, reclassification, consolidation, and finally effect of transition on cash and cash equivalents. It must be noted here that none of these extensions were commonly reported extensions. Slide 21 discuss about our findings of our analysis of extension axis. We identify the use of extension axis in the tagging of the primary financial statements. We had seen all the axes used in aggregate for extension elements and observed that 70% of all those axes were extension axes. However, it does not represent that filers use 70% of the axes as extensions in their filings. On analyzing the data company-wise, we have seen that on an average, a filer uses around 15% of the axes as extension axes. Now we are planning to do an in-depth review of these extension elements mentioned on slide 20 and 21 to see if any improvement is required in the taxonomy. We'll come out with our findings and proposals at a future ITCG meeting. Finally, Third question for ITCG members, do you have any comments or questions on our early findings? The last section is about priorities for 2019. Slide 24 discuss about the staff proposals for priorities for 2019. On the basis of our early findings, we are planning to extend the analysis of fundamental calculation relationship to the other primary financial statements. We are also planning to prioritize the bottom-up approach for banking and insurance sectors and for cash flow statement, as these sections shown the highest number of extensions. Also, we are planning to do an in-depth study of the comments received relating to the primary financial statements that we have received from the stakeholders. In addition, we also propose to do a research on tagging of disclosures relating to financial instruments and employee benefits. Slide 25 and 26 list the external feedbacks relating to tagging of primary financial statements we have received till now. Some of the stakeholders' feedback did align with our early findings. For instance, we have received the feedback that in cash flow statements, the elements are missing for the impact of changes in consolidation methods and reclassification, which we have also observed in our early findings. We'll continue our in-depth analysis of those comments and we'll share our findings at a future ITCG meeting. Question 4 for ITCG members, based on your experience of using and preparing the XBRL filings, do you agree with the staff proposals on slide 24? Are there any other topics you would like to add to the list on slide 25 and 26? So that's an overview of the slides, and with that, I would like to open up the floor for discussion for all the four questions. They are listed again here on slide 28, and I'll also be happy to answer any question that you may have. Thank you.
Just on clarification for the cash flow statement. So the cash flow statement, for those who are familiar, was an SX rule, as all those cross-listed companies, they have a kind of US GAAP history, and that's why, of course, you see now also more extension rate on average, because it was in the past very much or differently required as under IFRS. And most of those companies, and including us, we continued with that kind of disclosures. But if you look into the SX regulation, we actually will see, because this was very much SEC requested, why you see on average those kind of high extension rates. So it's very, very easy to validate that. Then second comment, for the overall focus, I cannot really follow why you don't look also into the details or in the notes as overall, because this is very important now as we have those data. Can understand the background from the ESMA, but actually ESMA in a later stage will also look into the notes. So that would be really highly recommended, or highly if there would be also a specific analysis done. And third remark, I couldn't follow you. You mentioned related party. I saw it one phase. It's not part of the primary financial statement. So that was an inconsistency in your slide, because that's actually a note. It was quite fast. So you wouldn't expect any related party in the primary financial statement, because it's a note disclosure. And for related party, I think anyway we should have a separate session where we run to related party, because it's a very complex disclosure. So far my comments.
Just in relation to the detailed notes, I think we completely agree with you. It's important for us to look at the detailed notes as well and the extensions that we're seeing in the notes. But it's a matter of sort of priorities and available resources, which is why we're focusing initially on the primary financial statements. That's not to say that we're going to ignore the notes. Indeed, we'll go on to those at a later stage. But that's just our focus for the moment.
And regarding related parties, I just can comment what we have seen for particular countries, that they provide their related parties as an additional column on the primary financial statement. They will say, okay, here are all the line items. Additional column will say of which related parties, and down for the key line items that put their related parties there. We have only observed that. We need to do more research and to see, look, is this consistent with the IFRS standards and would our model handle it? It's just at this moment in time we have observed. We didn't expect it either. Yeah, we observed that what they did in practice.
Very surprising.
I'd like to also know that those elements that you have seen on the slides, those are not common practice. Those are just examples that are purely random, just to give you an idea what we have found.
Extension tag is a minefield. I spent a whole Christmas vacation analyzing 39,000 the tags. And I just wonder that where all this come from? It's the same accounting standard, same presentation. But a couple of examples really come to my mind. For an example, many filers actually, which we did, dividend, my favorite one, dividend payable. If you really look at the tag itself, the label says dividend payable. The definition, dividend payable. So people say, rest of the attributes absolutely correct. So people said, no, dividend declared, not payable. So that's where the whole extension, started. Mm-hmm. If you look at now, the latest taxonomy, it says dividend payable, okay, but look at the definition. Dividend declared and not payable. So perfect, people now can see that dividend payable means, dividend declared but not paid. So that tag can be used and it will be replaced. So many, when I seen this particular thing, extended tag, and I said, and this is one of the reason that a lot of people commented. So our definition now is putting the dividend declared, not payable, which is very good. It will reduce, the number of extension. And I take the point about banking and insurance thing. Highest, the extension, because reason, the interpretations and, the lack of, the detail, the definition. The second example come to my mind, if you look at the income statement, and especially last three or four, line item tags, doesn't tell you with the net of tax or off the tax, you have to really make inferences that the tax is over there, and then after three or four line items, so you have to make kind of the inferences that, these three line items must be after the tax. So my, the suggestion would be, I think we should primary financial statement perfect. I think let's do the kind of the low hanging fruits rather than going the big way. And I'm sure you don't have resources that much to focus on the primary financial statement, improve definition as much as we can, provide net of taxes, before tax, gross tax, whatever it may be. I think that will do the great deal in a reduction of the tagging. And third thing is just simple working in the U.S. GAAP when the whole thing started. I think average, at least I can talk about 120 filers we did, our average is roughly about 43% extended tag, which is, I thought, pretty good compared to when the whole thing started in USA. I think our was roughly about 59%, the extended tag. So good work, let's hope we will reduce those. In my opinion, personal opinion, there should not be any extended tag.
Thanks, Sean.
Lou, you? Yeah. Agree with Dirk that it would be good to extend it to notes to the financials, and I get your response that that is coming. And on slide 17, it says statement of cash flows, 45% extension rate. I think usually when we talk about extension rates, we're talking about number of extensions divided by the number of total tags. 45% is the, not that, it's the percentage of extensions
within the extension
of those on the face statements. That statement had more of them, right? Okay.
We tried, we recognized that, Lou. We tried, but the data we had to rely on just did not provide that information. So we couldn't extract that information. We really wanted to know, okay, how many IFRS taxonomy elements had been used for the primary financial statement and how many extensions. But we could only get that information for the total of primary financial statements and notes and could not disaggregate it between the two. So that's why we couldn't come up with a statistic.
Okay.
Is that inconsistent with what you would say from your observation, what had the most extensions?
No, I would say that if you ask me the question, statement of cash flow would probably have more, not a ton more, but more. So it is, it would be the highest, but okay, maybe at a 20%.
So it's the number, it's not the fact that it's the most. Okay.
Just, and then on slide 21, you got the six axes that are extensions on the face. Were those all really on the face statements? They didn't come from the notes. Okay.
Pass for us as well, that's why we have to do that.
It's surprising, yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of it's just bad tagging then, probably. Or some, okay. Or a one-off unusual thing. That's all I've got.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Donna, you have.
And I think Dirk alluded to it as well, is, you know, are some of that being driven by what the SEC is requiring? Because these were all filings with the SEC, because three of those dimensions are available in the SRT, so I wouldn't have expected they should have extended. But how does that translate to what IFRS might require elsewhere in other jurisdictions? Because would you want to provide those when they're not really used outside of the SEC, I guess?
Yeah. And this, like, we realize that because we probably may not apply the same methodology as we do for common reporting practice, because we know they will have problems even if you anchor. They will not solve it. So we need to understand first better when and how they are used, and then I think we need to come with recommendations. Should we do something about it? And if we do have to do something about it, what would it be, really? Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Anna. Maria, you had?
Yeah, I think this is great. I mean, this kind of analysis, I love it, to be honest. I think this is the starting point to do something else. I suggest to you, translate also one of the outputs in impact. What does it mean, having this diversity of on different extensions? What is the impact? It's a lack of comparability, lack of traceability over the time, try to measure that. That will have to have some lessons learned that also can be applicable to maybe to the ESMA case as well. So try to find something, and then at the end of the day, translate your results in something. Then at the end of the day, it can be translated in lessons learned, actions, obviously modeling and so on, but also the impact, you know, will help to see in, you know, in other reporting frameworks or environment. That's my suggestion.
Thanks, Maria. And I don't know first between Kylie and Susan.
I wanted to share one of our lessons learned in looking at some of the data from the same foreign private issuers. The first was around, there's a lot of focus around looking at the extensions on the primary financial statements rather than where there's a lack of extensions. Now, and one of our observations, if you were to pick the outliers within an industry that has few extensions, you will find that they have, in my terminology, shoehorned IFRS elements with things that perhaps they shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. So where extensions are good and where they're not so good. The other thing I wanted to talk about in reference to slide 16 and the number of extensions that you see by industry, I thought it was quite interesting to note, without sharing anything confidential, that at the top of the list, the banks and insurance companies and working way down are in the order most likely to seek external assistance in terms of voluntary attestation services and so forth. And despite the changes in IFRSs, which may reduce that extension rate, you may still see a higher extension rate because of the use of external providers.
Thanks.
Is it the external providers that are cranking up the extension rate, or the disclosure, the uniqueness of their disclosures?
I would hope that they were accurately tagged against the laws.
Yeah. Good.
We thought it was a really reasonable approach. We had a couple follow-up questions, and it might just tie into sort of the categorizing sort of things that might be useful. We were wondering about how much of them are driven by maybe areas that are more principles-based parts of the IFRS standards, and then also, is it materiality issues? Are they sort of the subtotal type things where they put things together like accounts payable and accruals, and sort of kind of helping break that apart at some point will be useful probably to all of us.
To be fair, and effect is also a cry for help and input, yeah. Like where you say, look, we want to do this bottom-up approach, is looking at the labels and see if we can cluster. But at the moment, is the same as you spent your Christmas. We started looking at this, and it's quite difficult because you really, where do you start and where do you end, really? And it's going to be hugely, if you were to do this properly, and for instance, one of the things, okay, find combinations, but you really, at the moment, you really need to have to manually go through all this list of extensions. So we are facing here an uphill struggle, and I'll be fair and honest about it. So any suggestions you have where, in fact, we talked a lot about technology, any suggestions you have are tools you use in-house to cluster and analyze this extension and can share feedback with us to it so that we can help us in this analysis would be really, really useful, because otherwise with the resources we have and the fact that we have to do this largely manually, we are facing a big uphill struggle here. So please continue. I know some of you have access to more complicated, to more machine learning and things like that. So anything you can help us in providing input on areas to fork or common reporting practice elements you think we should be added, please share that feedback with us, because it's not easy for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's fair to say, isn't it, Rachel?
If I could just add, I thought Dirk's observation was very interesting around the cash flow statement, and these were hangovers almost from doing US-style cash flow statements, which tend to be much more entity-specific in terms of the line items. And so it's been not so much being principles-based, I would say, that's creating. It's the other way. It's the other way. In that specific incidence, that's how I would square the circle. But it's troubling nevertheless.
Yeah. Thank you. Anna's got her caught up, and we're close to time. So I'm going to go to Anna, and unless you are...
30 seconds.
Okay.
And he's also very quick.
Anna, I think, is done, right? Okay. Or well, you put it back up again.
I just had one observation.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, from my perspective, you will not be surprised to hear that we are very happy to see that this work has been undertaken, and a big thanks to the entire team for... Well, prioritizing things this way, because I think this will really is going to be very helpful for us. I'm very keen to get on board with further analysis and take on board with the regulation any results we can take on board. I just had a small question, which is the data that has been used in the analysis the first iteration of the filing to the SEC? So is this the first quarterly reports in 2018, or is it some subsequent filing over the year, since the new mandate is coming into force?
These are annual filings for 2017.
Okay. So I was wondering whether, because I've heard from FPIs that the first exercise has been quite burdensome, let's say. The mandate is coming into force relatively short notice, and some of them have been a bit caught by surprise. So I wonder whether there might be some use in trying to see if there has been a learning curve from their end. Also in the use of extensions as they become more familiar with the taxonomy, and I wonder whether the results might not look slightly different if we look at the following year. And by the way, the results are broadly in line with the outcome of the field test, which is also in the same areas where we identified the most extensions and in the same industry. So maybe there could be some... maybe the fewer extensions in following iterations, but I suspect those will be broadly in line with what you've identified already. Many thanks again for carrying forward this very difficult work.
Can you hit 30 seconds, Dana?
Probably. I don't know how long.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was just, I don't know if when you looked at it, if you noticed any usage of U.S. GAAP elements, because they can import that taxonomy. But if so, that might also be a way of identifying an easy categorization of extensions. But
we did
some way.
We saw a few. I think I need to have a discussion with you, because I think at the moment it's not permitted anymore. So we need to look at that.
I mean, it was at that time.
Yeah, it was at that time. So I'm not sure how much we can use it.
Yeah.
I'll be parsimonious. With extensions, I mean, we apply our algorithms, so you kind of alluded to that before, as part of our normalization. So for us, extensions are not such a big deal in terms of understanding what they mean. And the sort of the compromise we make is that we expose the tag itself to the end user. So we say, hey, this is an extension, but we normalize it to revenues.
but this is the tag that they used, and if you want to drill into it and click on that number, and it will take you back to the income statement, there you go. But that's the compromise that we have. Mm-hmm. And I think, just really quickly, you know, in terms of kind of thinking about extensions, how much effort you want to put in, I don't know about the other data aggregators in the room or other data aggregators who are not present, but I think over time, people figure out how to consume that.
Okay, thanks, Christine. Do you?
Yeah, 30 seconds, 20. So I just want to, describe the collaborative effort to, if you do all the things, it will help, the IFRS folks to improve the whole taxonomy. And this point I want to recognize Lou particularly. His work for the data quality, amazing. Not only he really tackle US GAAP, but also IFRS. It's all about, the improvement of data quality. So thank you. Appreciate your work. So it is really shows collaborative, the effort rather than, pointing this thing, why should not be done, or why you should do this, or I should do this, whatever it may be.
You can go on for 2 minutes.
Thanks, Isha. Thanks, Liz.
Maybe just 3 seconds, because also we prepared our own analysis, including detail tagging. What was really a surprise, and maybe that would be also our desire that you look into, is that the banks as an industry, we always expected high extension rate, but we see now industry we didn't expect it. Or transportation, for example, it's really very strange where we see it. And service industry is also quite high. And trade industry. So if you look on the usual SIC codes of the industry and you look on the average extension rates of the companies, it's not something which we expected in the past, and that's something I think needs to be clarified, why they have not now all these high extension rates. Huh?
Okay, thanks. I think that's all the comments and feedback we've got. Do you have any last pieces, or you're okay? You're good to answer?
We've got good feedback.
Okay, good. Okay, thanks. Our next topic, Anne's going to introduce for us and walk us through.
Thanks, John. We'll have a staff exchange.